Thank you for being here today. I trust God will bless our time together, and we rejoice in the fact that we are together again. I said before, I'll say again, one day we'll meet our last time here in this place, and I'm looking forward to the other place that the Lord has prepared for us. Let's pray now and ask God to bless our time, and thank you for being here in Sunday school this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to gather together once again. Lord, we thank you for each one that's come in this room today and each one that's in this location today here at Sunday school. I pray you bless our teachers, Lord, each one of us, Lord, as we stand now to teach your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I pray, God, that hearts would be illumined to the wooing of the Spirit of God this morning. God, you know the crowd that's here. You know every one. Lord, there might be somebody here today that's not saved. God, there it is. I pray the Spirit of God will work in that life today. And Lord, just love them and draw them to the Lamb of God before it's too late. Lord, we commit now this time to you. Bless those that are not able to be with us for various reasons. Please watch over them. Lead us and guide us now. Lord, again, may all we say and all we do bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did propose a question to you this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, first of all. That's where we are. We're working ourselves through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4 and verse number 30 we talked about last week. We're going to review that a little bit, and we'll get into verse 31 and 32, hope today, and get out of this chapter. We've been in it long enough. But nevertheless, if I was to ask you today, who is the closest and dearest friend to you today in your life? Who is the closest and dearest friend to you today in your life? You think about that. You know, we all have friends, physical, don't we? We all do. And thank God for friends. But who is the dearest friend you have? Who is the closest friend you have in your life? In your life. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, look down about verse number 30. We're going to read this verse again. We're going to review a little bit from last week. We covered this verse last week, but we're going to review a little bit. There's people in here that weren't here last week. And then we'll get into verse 31 and verse 32. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now verse 30, Paul, of course, is writing here. And he's writing to Christians, of course. And we find as we look at the Christian's walk, the believer's walk, we're talking about how we are to walk worthy of the vocation. In Ephesians 4, verse number 1, for while we're called. If we're Christians, we're to walk like a Christian, okay? We're to live like a Christian. Also, we're to walk using the gifts in verse number 7 that God has given to us, be it a gift or gifts, whichever it is. And then also in verse 17, how we're to walk not like the world. Not like the world. We're to be different from the world in which we're living in. So Paul is giving us instructions, just everyday things, plain and simple things that we ought to watch out for in our lives as Christians. We talked about putting away anger and evil speaking and all these things. But now we're in verse number 30, and Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. To grieve someone is to sadden them, to put pain on them, to hurt them, inflict them in some way. And Paul says, Christians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. He's within you. He's within you. By the way, we realize today that it's because of him we're saved today. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit saves us, but I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit is the one that used the Word of God through a vessel of God to convict us in our hearts that we were sinners and that we needed to be saved. Not only that, he's the one who drew us to the Lamb of God, the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit has a big part in our life as being a Christian today. I'm talking about becoming a Christian. We see conviction, and we see drawing us to Christ. It's so important. Now, I remember the days, and you do too, before you were saved, when you went to church, how the Holy Spirit began to work on your heart and was working in your heart and in your life to help you to see that you need to be saved. Oh, I thank God for that power that the Word of God has in using the Spirit of God to draw people to Christ. And we see this is what Paul is talking about. And grieve not the Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him. Don't grieve Him. Now, I said last week, the believer can, do three things. He can grieve the Spirit of God, he can quench the Spirit of God, and he can lie to the Spirit of God. Now, we know grieving involves our actions and our behaviors, okay? Quenching involves our work, how we disobey God. In other words, we don't do what He asks us to do in our lives as a Christian. That's quenching the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit of God nudges me to go to speak to somebody about Christ and I don't do it, I'm quenching the Spirit of God. And I'm not allowing Him to direct me in my life. So we see here that that's very important, this thing about this Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. And so we see what this implies as far as grieving the Spirit of God. What are we talking about when we talk about grieving the Spirit of God? First of all, I said last week, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it, He's a person. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we see, as a person, we see that He is the most sensitive in all the Godhead. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Also, the Holy Spirit that indwells us as a believer. He lives in our heart, and yet he has the capacity, we have the capacity in us still to grieve Him, even though He lives within us. We also still have that capacity to grieve Him. Also, whenever we grieve the Spirit of God, it affects Him in many ways, and it affects us. His influence upon us diminishes whenever we grieve Him. His influence among us diminishes. We also see the comfort of the Holy Spirit is diminished also in our lives whenever we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We also see, we talked about how even as a believer, when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, there is temporary losing assurance even of salvation when we grieve the Spirit of God. And also we talked about how that the Holy Spirit, when we grieve Him, will withhold His manifestation of His presence in our life daily as we walk with Him. See, so it's very important not to grieve the Holy Spirit. See, we find here this is a charge from Paul. It's a charge, it's a very sincere charge also. Because he says, grieve not the Spirit of God that lives within us. Now, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, really it's ingratitude on our part because of the role He plays in our salvation. We're not grateful when we grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. See, we're being ungrateful for what He's done for us in our lives. So we see, first of all, we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's the charge. Now, what's the reason? Look at that last part of that verse. Look at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're what? Sealed until the day of what? Redemption. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And we're not to grieve Him, first of all, because He seals us. He seals us. He lives within me now. Romans 8, 16. God's Spirit bears witness of my spirit. I am a child of God. See, He lives within me now. He bears that witness to me that I know that I'm saved. You know, I have no doubt in my life I'm saved because of the witness of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. If you're saved today, you know that too. God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You read the Word of God, it's going to bear witness to you. You hear songs that sing about our Savior and magnify Him, it's going to bear witness to you that you are a child of God. See, there are so many things in our life that would influence us and give us that assurance that we're saved because of the Holy Spirit in our life. So the Holy Spirit is God's seal that we belong to Him. We belong to Him. You see, It's like a down payment. It's like a signature on a contract. You know, it's final, it's settled, because God lives within us by His power, through His Holy Spirit. We also see the reason is His presence. His presence. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God because of His presence. See, His presence within me, His presence within you demonstrates to us the genuineness of our faith. The genuineness of our faith. Listen, if you're saved today, born again, child of God, your faith in Christ is real. I mean, it's genuine. Nothing can change it. Nothing can alter it. Nothing can cause you not to have faith in God if He lives within you. I mean, He demonstrates His genuineness to us. God is real, and His Spirit is real that lives within us today. I'm thankful for that. We also see that His presence proves that we are His children. We are His children. Just like my parents, when I came up, they corrected me. They tried to guide me in the right direction. Well, God does that too through the Holy Spirit. He convicts us sometimes, and sometimes He even chastens us as His children when we get off on the wrong road, so to speak. So we see His presence also proves that we are His children, and also His presence secures us for eternity. He secures us for eternity. I know that I'm going to spend eternity with God. I know I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. And I know that because of God's presence within me, His Holy Spirit. Therefore, we're not to grieve Him. We're not to grieve the Spirit of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God plays so much a part of our lives, not only as becoming a Christian, but in the fact that we are a Christian and what we do with our lives daily. You see, first of all, Jesus said, when He went away, I'll send a comforter. He's going to abide with you how long? Forever. First of all, we see He's a comforter to you and to me in our lives daily, just like this lady you were talking about. See, it was the Spirit of God that used those songs to comfort that lady's heart. See, it's the Spirit of God that comforts you. It's the Spirit of God that encourages you and me in our life daily. You see, so we find here the Holy Spirit, He comforts us. Not only that, He teaches us. The best Bible teacher you have is the Holy Spirit that lives within you. He will teach you, if you'll spend the time in God's Word, what God's Word is all about. He's a teacher to me. He's a comforter to me. Also, we see not only that, but also He helps us when we pray. Have you ever been to the point in your life you didn't know how to pray? I have. I really have. I don't even know how to pray, what I want to pray. But somehow or another, when you get on your knees and you begin to pray and you ask God to help you, there's something within me that's real, that comes alive in me and begins to give me words to say that I would never have said myself. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. See, He helps us to pray. He helps us to pray sometimes when we need to pray. He helps us also when we go out into the world to be a witness to people. Can you imagine what it would be like to try to tell somebody about Christ and Christ not living within you? That's impossible. It's impossible. You see, but I'm thankful today that we have the Holy Spirit within us to empower us, to enable us, to give us the words to say when we go out to witness to people. Listen, it's not about us. It's all about Him. All about Him. In everything that we do, if it's witness, if it's teach, if it's pray, if it's sing, I don't care what it is. God's Spirit wants to have preeminence in it through us. And if He does, it's going to be effective in the hearts and lives of people, you know, to help them in their time of need in their life. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit does that for us, does that for us. So we see the charge is to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The reason is because He seals us. And His ministry within us. That's why we're not to grieve the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice something else now. The next verse. As we look at it in just a minute. We talked about not grieving the Spirit of God. We talked about what it implies. And now we'll look in the next couple of verses. We're going to see a negative and we're going to see a positive. The negative is going to be this. The negative, verse 31, is going to tell us how to grieve the Holy Spirit. How to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He tells us here in these verses right here. Again, remember I said, grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with our actions and our behaviors. Our actions and our behaviors. That's grieving. That's what causes us to grieve the Spirit of God. Now, let's look here at the negative. This is something Christians should not do. If we do this, if this is in our lives, we are grieving the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, that's what Paul says. That's what the Bible says. This is how we grieve the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 31. It says, let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, these things here are very, very important. They're very touchy. But all of us have been there. All of us have been there. None can say, I haven't been that way. We all have. We've all been here. Bitterness. He says, let all bitterness be done away with. All bitterness. Bitterness is cruel, folks. Bitterness is harsh. Bitterness is resentful. Bitterness will affect us in ways that we cannot control. We cannot control. We see that bitterness is so important in our lives not to be there. Bitterness will cause us to grieve the Spirit of God that lives within us. We see that bitterness spoils our own comfort. With bitterness in my life, I cannot be comforted by the Spirit of God. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be miserable with bitterness in my life. Now, bitterness, you know as well as I know, don't start out with bitterness, does it? It may start out with something somebody may say to you. Somebody may have a gesture to you that you maybe picked up the wrong way or something, you know. Bitterness don't start out just as bitterness. It's little things that accumulate and come up to bitterness in our lives. So we have to be careful, you see. He said, let all bitterness be put away. Bitterness will excite the hatred of others. Bitterness will excite the very hatred of others. In other words, when you're bitter, do you like to be around a bitter person? No, you don't. Neither do I. See, and it excites, they're going to get away from us when they see that we're bitter. And this is something else. It also will destroy our influence for good. Bitterness will destroy our influence for good round about us. So we need to be careful about this thing of bitterness. This causes us to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Bitterness. Bitterness. Now, secondly, you see, it says right here, and wrath. And wrath. Bitterness and wrath, we're to put it away. Why? Because it causes us to grieve the Spirit of God. Now, what is wrath? Wrath is very sinful also. Wrath sometimes springs up, first of all, from misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. What somebody says, what somebody does. It can cause wrath. You see, it also comes up from the want of love. The want of love in your life. You see, it can cause wrath. It also springs up from pride. Pride in our life. You know, pride will do many dangerous things in a person's life. And pride is one that will cause wrath. Someone said that wrath is a fever in the heart, a fire in the face, and also a sword in the hand. Wrath will do dangerous things. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy people that you're around. We're to put it away. Wrath. Wrath will cause us to grieve the Spirit of God. Notice also it says not only wrath, but it says an anger. Anger. Now we notice in verse number 26, a few weeks ago we talked about, there is an anger that is lawful as far as a Christian is concerned. We're to stand up against sin and evil and ungodliness. And sometimes, you know, anger is lawful. But we're talking about anger here today that is not lawful. Anger that is not lawful. This is accomplished with hatred. Hatred in our heart, you see. Hatred in our heart. It gets to a point that now I hate it. I hate what's going on. I hate the situation. I even hate the individual, you see. It breaks out into even cursing. anger, breaks out into cursing. This is something that grieves the Spirit of God. It also is long cherished. In other words, it's something I'm going to hang on to. I'm angry and I'm going to stay angry, and you're not going to stop me from being angry. You see, it's long cherished anger in our life. Therefore, we need to be aware of this thing called anger. We ought to put it away from us. Why should we put it away from us? First of all, because God forbids it. God forbids that to be in our life. Turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. God forbids anger in us. It tells us in verse number 8, Colossians 3, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, not out of your mouth. In other words, he forbids us. He forbids us to have those things in our lives, you see. He forbids it. When we get angry, it also disturbs our mind and our body. Anger disturbs our mind and our body. We're not ourselves. It's like a person that's intoxicated. They're not themselves. They don't even know what they're doing. And when a person gets angry, they don't know what they're doing. Therefore, we're grieving the Spirit of God in us as a Christian. God help us. God help us. We all have to deal with this. It's foolishness as well as sin. Anger is foolishness as well as sin in our life. In our life. You say, Brother Keith, you don't know what I face. No, I don't. I don't. But I know one that does know what you face. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit that lives within you and lives within me. And he knows how to help us if we ask him to. Yeah, we have not sometimes because we ask not. But we need to ask. We need to ask him in our life. Probably every one of us this week is going to face something out here in this world in which we go into that's going to stir us up. You know? And we need to be aware of the fact that there's someone living within us to help us. Someone living within us to help us in our lives. So we need to be careful about this. Also, we see that anger may lead to eternal ruin in your life. Anger has destroyed a many reputation and character in people. I mean, it's an eternal ruin. It can become that if you're not really careful about this. But notice also, it says not only anger, not only bitterness and wrath and anger, but also clamor. Clamor. That's outcrying, demanding, complaining. Complaining all the time. Demanding, complaining, outcrying, loud. You know, people that are loud. All these things. These things are, this is ungodly. This is a cry of really strife. And it ought not to be in our lives as a Christian, you see. It'll quench the Spirit of God in our lives. And also we see not only that, but we saw an evil speaking. Speech that will wound the reputation and the character of people. You've met, and I have too, in your life, people that seem like that's all they want to do is tear somebody down. That's not of a Christian. That's not of a Christian. We're to build up one another, aren't we? We're to encourage one another. But we need to put these things away. Evil speaking, it's an outrage upon truth and charity. That's what evil speaking is. Notice also it says, an evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. All these things should be put away with us, from us with all malice. That marks the reaction of all these things we talked about. Malice. When we are bitter and have wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, you know what? We are mad, aren't we? We're mad. To a point, we're mad. And we need to be careful. This marks the reaction of being mad. We're commanded of God to put these things away. Look what it says again. Read it with me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put what? Away from you with all malice. Put all these things away from us with all malice. All these things find a true place in the flesh. In other words, the flesh cleaves to these things. The flesh wants these things in us. You see, the flesh does. Listen, folks, the flesh is hard to control. But we can't control it ourselves. It's impossible. But we can with God's help. We see here these are the opposites to the nine graces of the Spirit. You read in Galatians chapter 5. Turn right there. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. It talks about the graces of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, tempers. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the what? Flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We see the fruits of the Spirit here compared to the flesh and the things of the flesh. And how the flesh wants to have dominion over us. See, these things we mentioned so far in this verse right here are inconsistent in our own life, walking, fulfilling the vocation that we're called into. These things ought not to be in our lives. See, because of who we are, we're Christians. We ought not to allow these things to take place in our lives today. See, now, I said a while ago, who's the closest friend to you in this world, in your life? Who is the closest friend to you in your life today? Who is he? Who is that individual we see? Because the Holy Spirit lives within me, because the Holy Spirit lives within you, he is so near to us, he's concerned about our character and our conduct, folks. He's really concerned. I believe with all my heart, sometimes the Holy Spirit that lives in us is more concerned about our conduct and our character than we are. That's why he lives within us. He lives within us to help us and to guide us in our life. You see, the closest friend that I have on this earth, I have a precious wife and I love her. I have a brother and a sister. I have some relatives. I do. But the closest friend I have in my life, the dearest one to me, the closest one to me, is the Holy Spirit of God. The closest friend you have is the Spirit of God within you. He sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you no matter who you are. He'll go with you whatever you have to go through in your life. There's nobody closer to you than the Holy Spirit of God if you're saved today. There's nobody that's going to help you like he will and like he can if we will allow him to. So I'm thankful today for that, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we talked about the negative. Now, we want to finish very quickly here with the positive side too. Look in verse number 32, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Look at this. This is the positive of the Christian. This is how to live and walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of God. Notice it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the key, folks. Excuse me. This is the key. Instead of bitterness, there ought to be what? Kindness. Instead of bitterness, there ought to be kindness in our life. See, instead of wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking, there ought to be tenderheartedness in our lives. This is the positive side of the Christian's life, okay? The positive side. Instead of malice, there ought to be loving and heartily forgiving one another. Loving and heartily forgiving one another in our lives as children of God, you see. Kindness, what is the motives of kindness? We certainly see that kindness, God is the example himself of kindness. He is the example. Look back in Luke chapter 6. Look back in Luke chapter 6. Just look at this verse here. God himself is the example of kindness. Luke 6, 35. Beloved, ye enemies, and do good, and lead hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to everybody. God does not hate anybody. Now, he hates sin, but he don't hate anybody. He hates everybody. He loves everybody, you see. He displays kindness to everybody. It is a commanded duty for you and I to be kind to people. To be kind to people. Also, we see that we are brethren, especially of the household of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we're going to just spend a few years here together. You know? But we're going to spend eternity together. Eternity together. Therefore, we need to be sure that we're kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You see, this is the positive side of the Christian, you see. Now, notice that's kindness. Notice tenderheartedness. Tenderheartedness. We ought to be ready also to help people. Ready always to help people, you see. It implies a compassionate sense of helping others, no matter what they're going through. Their miseries, their infirmities, whatever it is, we need to have a heart for one another. Tenderheartedness, loving people with all our heart. We ought also to follow the example of our Father. God, who's rich in mercy, wasn't he? He's rich in mercy. We also see he has tender mercies over all his works. He has tender mercies over all of us. We're his works. He displays that. So we see we ought to follow the example of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the life that he lived. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Back to Matthew chapter 9. Read the verse here. Look at verse number 36. Matthew 9, 36. This is the example of Jesus Christ being tenderhearted. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion. But when he saw the multitude, that is Jesus, was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Compassion. Well, I thank God for the compassion of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, on a world that's lost and undone and on the way to hell. A sinner like me. A sinner like me. Tenderheartedness, you see. We need that. And then last but not least, we find over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgiving one another. Kindness, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. The Christian ought to always be willing to forgive. Forgive. Always forgive. It's a Christian duty to forgive others. It's our duty to forgive others. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew chapter 6. I read this, read this verse again. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that sounds good, don't it? But look at the next verse. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is very important in our lives. And you know, if we're not careful, this flesh will say, don't forgive. This flesh will say, don't forgive. But there's something within us called the Holy Spirit of God that will say, you ought to forgive. And when we don't forgive, when he says forgive, what are we doing? We're grieving the Spirit of God. We're grieving the Spirit of God. We must forgive our brethren so God will forgive us. We must forgive our brethren so God will forgive us in our lives. You see. Now, the measure of our forgiveness, folks, in our lives ought to be the forgiveness of God in the way he forgives. That's how we forgive. You know, if God can forgive me of all my sins, I should be able to forgive others of their sins. I don't care what it is. That's the measure, folks. God forgives me. Why can't I forgive others? I can by God's help. Only by God's help, he said. If not, we're going to be miserable. We're going to be miserable. We're going to be very unhappy, you see. Now, in conclusion, what are we saying here? In Ephesians 4, verse 25 through verse 32, we've been talking about the believer, how we're to walk, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Putting on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. What do we say? The charge has been for you in these verses, and the charge has been for me this. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. And the reason is, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Allow the new man in you to be alive and control your life and clothe you with literally the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you and I are forgiven. You're forgiven. If there really is no other reason why. There are many reasons why, maybe I should say, but this is the main reason we ought to, as Christians, to walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit of God have His will and way in our lives. Put on these things, such as kindness, such as we have here, tenderheartedness, and forgiving. Put on these things because Christ lives in us, because of what He's done for us. Listen, there's no one has done any more for you than Jesus Christ has done for you and me. No one. We owe it all to Him, folks. We owe it all to Him. And with God's help, and by God's help, we can be what we ought to be. We can live and not grieve the Spirit of God. Now, I know we're going to slip. I know we're going to fall. But thank God. When we fall, He's always there to reach down and lift us up. He's always there to lift us up. Thank God for His forgivingness always. May the Lord help us and strengthen us as we look at this tonight. The walk of the believer as being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, we have help. No matter what the world throws at you and throws at me, we have help. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And He's the closest friend that you could ever have in this world. And don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. When you're down, out, discouraged, frustrated with life, you stop and think, God is within me. And that's all I need. I said this before. Brother and I was out visiting a few weeks ago, months ago, Sam. We went to his house. This elderly lady was there. She came to the door with a walker. No, she was in a wheelchair. On a wheelchair. Opened the door, says, come in. We went into the house and began to talk to her. And that lady began to praise God. We knew exactly. She was a Christian. She says, you know, this is all I have. I don't have much. What I have is in these walls right here that you see. I don't have nothing in this world. She said, but you know what? I've got all I need. Because Jesus lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You've got everything you need to live in this world and be more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for allowing the Holy Spirit of God to live within us, to enable us, Lord, as we walk and as we journey. We can't do anything without You. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that You've promised to give us power to do what we need to do for You. So, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, dear God, for Your word, how it is true. We believe it from cover to cover. Now, God, we ask You to strengthen us, undergird us with Your power and with Your strength today as we go forth, Lord, that we might do what You want us to do and bring honor and glory to You. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. I pray for the singing. It'll be a blessing to us. It'll be anointed by the Spirit. Pray for our pastor. You give him the liberty, the power he needs today to speak what thus saith the Lord. Have Your will and way in our hearts. Save that one that's lost and edify Your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.